الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars al-Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. الذين آمنوا بآياتنا وكانوا مسلمين. ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. Friends will be enemies on that day except for those with taqwa. In the final verse which we discussed in last week's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. That they, the kuffar, are only waiting for Qiyamah to come to them suddenly without them realizing. So as far as the kuffar and the disbelievers are concerned, after all the proofs and all the evidences were presented before them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of worship, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is a life after death where there will be Jannah, where there will be Jahannam. And over again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented before them proof upon proof upon proof, evidence upon evidence upon evidence. But they continued to deny. They were not ready to believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. That now they are just waiting for Qiyamah. And after Qiyamah takes place, then they will see with their own eyes what the reality is. At this moment in time, they are not ready to believe. So there is only one thing which is going to open their eyes up, and that is when they themselves will see it with their own eyes, that there is a hereafter. There is Jannah, there is Jahannam. Allah was the one who was worthy of worship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the prophet of Allah ta'ala. The Quran was the book of Allah ta'ala. And to mention this reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions the word as-sa'ah. So as far as as-sa'ah is concerned, there are two points here which we need to understand. The first one is that as-sa'ah is one of the words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the glorious Quran for Qiyamah. So as far as Qiyamah is concerned, there are many different words which have been used in the Quran for Qiyamah. And maybe on another occasion we will discuss these words, because each word gives us some sort of benefit. It's not that they're just different words that have been used in the Quran. The Quran is extremely rich, and any time a word is used, there's some benefit which can be derived from that word also. So there are many different names, like Yawmul Hasra and Yawmul Taghabun. So sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Qiyamah, He uses this word As-Sa'ah. And there are two As-Sa'ah. One is As-Sa'atu Sugra, and the second is As-Sa'atu Al-Kubra. As-Sa'atu Sugra is the minor Qiyamah. And As-Sa'atu Al-Kubra is the major Qiyamah. What's the minor Qiyamah? The minor Qiyamah is when one person, he passes away. Because what is Qiyamah? Qiyamah is basically this world comes to an end and we meet with Allah Ta'ala. So when one person passes away, this is his Qiyamah. For him, the world is now finished. He cannot benefit from this world anymore. He's no longer in the world. And he will now meet with Allah Ta'ala. So his Qiyamah has taken place. So this is As-Sa'atu Sughra, the minor Qiyamah. And As-Sa'atu Al-Kubra, the major Qiyamah, is when the entire world will come to an end. And the entire humanity will then meet with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that these disbelievers, despite all of these proofs and evidences, they are not willing to believe. They are now just waiting for either their minor Qiyamah or their major Qiyamah, whichever one will come first. And once the As-Sa'atu Sughra or As-Sa'atu Al-Kubra takes place, then they will see with their own eyes what the reality was. So this is one point regarding As-Sa'ah. And the second point is that why is Qiyamah called As-Sa'ah? So As-Sa'ah can be translated either as the hour or the moment. Sa'ah either means hour or it means moment. One reason why Qiyamah is called As-Sa'ah is because Qiyamah is extremely close. When we think of Qiyamah, we think to ourselves that Qiyamah is very far away. Qiyamah will take place after thousands and thousands of years. Now it's possible Qiyamah will take place after thousands and thousands of years. But even if it does, Qiyamah is extremely close. And we have to think to ourselves and believe that Qiyamah is extremely close so that we can change our ways and we can begin to worship Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, if we have this in our mind, and because Qiyamah is thousands of years away, I'll change my life, but later on. And first of all, we don't know if we are going to live till Qiyamah. We have to think of As-Sa'atu Sughra, the minor Qiyamah, our death. This is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to fear Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal nas, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wal tandur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. That, O believers, fear Allah, meaning fear the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, and each soul shall ponder, each soul should ponder over what he has sent forward for tomorrow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word tomorrow here for Qiyamah to show us that don't think Qiyamah is very far away. No, it's very close. So just as if you needed to do something very important tomorrow, how would you prepare for it? That's how you have to prepare for Qiyamah. That it's as if you're going to stand in the court of Allah tomorrow. So one reason Qiyamah is called As-Sa'ah is to show us that Qiyamah is just an hour away, it's just a moment away. So if you knew that after one moment, after 1 hour, I'm going to present myself in the court of Allah Ta'ala, how will you sort your life out? That's what you need to do at this moment in time. And a second reason why it's called As-Sa'ah is because Qiyamah is going to take place and occur suddenly and unexpectedly. It will be a sudden occurrence. Suddenly Qiyamah will take place. So just as the next moment and the next hour takes place suddenly, there's no time to prepare. In the same way, once Qiyamah will take place, there will be no time to prepare for it. Likewise, our death. That when the angel of death comes to extract your soul, there will be no time to prepare now. Now you will not be able to say that, give me a few minutes so I can say a few subhanallah and then extract my soul. So Qiyamah is going to take place suddenly. Our death is also going to take place suddenly. So Qiyamah is called As-Sa'ah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they, the kuffar, are waiting only for As-Sa'ah, meaning for Qiyamah to come to them suddenly without them realizing. Now as far as Qiyamah is concerned, Qiyamah is going to be an extremely severe moment, and Qiyamah is going to be an extremely severe occasion. Very, very severe. It will strike great fear in each and every individual who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who on that day will be far away from the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be a very severe day. And throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways shows us the severity with regards to the day of Qiyamah. And one way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how severe Qiyamah will be is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that those relationships of ours in this world, those relationships which were very close, we were very close with certain individuals. On the day of Qiyamah, due to the severity of the day of Qiyamah, these relationships will mean nothing. They will become meaningless. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum, inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un azim, yawma tarawnaha tadhhalu kullu murdi'atin amma arda'at. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about a mother. So a mother, she has a very strong attachment with her child. Every individual knows the attachment a mother has with the child. And then if this child is a baby, the attachment is even more. And then when this baby is feeding off the mother's chest, at that moment in time, no matter what is happening in the house, whether someone rings the doorbell, whether someone phones, whether there's a notification, the mother's full attention is towards that child who she is feeding. She will not leave that child even for a single moment. Only women can understand this. But the Quran says that when that moment of Qiyamah will occur, this very close attachment that a mother has with her child who she is feeding, she will abandon this child also. And وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. Every woman who will have a child in her stomach, she will abort that fetus. So this is how this relationship between the mother and the child will also cease when Qiyamah will take place. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, a person, when he will see his own blood brother, then he will flee from him. Two brothers who are very close in this world. But on the day of Qiyamah, you will flee from your brother. وَأُمِّهِ. A person will see his mother, he will flee from his mother. In fact, Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions regarding Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, who himself said with regards to his own mother, that وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي. I am extremely obedient to my mother. But on the day of Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will say that nafsi nafsi. Oh Allah, today I am only worried about myself. La as'aluka illa Maryam. I am not even asking you with regards to my mother Maryam, who gave birth to me. So Isa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah ta'ala, but his only concern will be himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person will see his own mother, he will flee from his mother. Wa abi, he will flee from his father. Wa sahibatihi, he will flee from his wife. The wife will flee from the husband. Why? Why will we flee from these relatives of ours who are extremely close to us in this world? Because these are the people whose rights we normally will discard because we spend so much time with them. When you spend hours upon hours with your brother, with your sister, with your wife, with your children, then it's only natural that you're going to discard their rights. Now on that day you will know that what if my brother was to say to Allah that, oh Allah, once during our life, this brother of mine, he swore at me, or he took one pence of me. Now that's going to be the day of hisab and reckoning. So you know that I'll have to give my good deeds to him. So when you will see your people, you'll run away from them. So look, the day of Qiyamah will be so severe that you will flee from those relatives of yours that were extremely close to you in the world. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this ayah mentions one other relationship. And that is the relationship of friendship. That those who are your friends in the world. Because friends in the world are extremely close to one another. Or they are supposed to be extremely close. A friend in need is a friend indeed. This is how the English saying goes. But the youth don't understand this. So they just befriend people whose company they enjoy without realizing that these friends of ours, they are not really our true friends. They are destroying our world also and they are destroying our akhirah also. So it's extremely important that when it comes to friendship, we only befriend those people who assist us in practicing upon the deen so that they will benefit us in this world also and they will benefit us in the hereafter. Otherwise, if we know that this friend of mine, he always leads me to committing sins. Because of him, I'm always doing wrong things. Then it's time for you to say goodbye to such a friendship. Otherwise, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this next verse now, verse number 67, that Al-akhillau yawma'idhim ba'duhum liba'din aduun. Friends will be enemies on that day. On that day, meaning, yuridu al-qiyamah. It refers to qiyamah. That on the day of qiyamah, friends, those who are friends in this world, on the day of qiyamah, they will be enemies. Illa al-muttaqeen, except for the muttaqeen. Except for the good, the righteous friends. So those who are righteous, those who are pious, and had a friendship, and this friendship was based upon deen, upon religion, for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. They will be friends in this world also, they will be friends in the hereafter also. But if you are friends and your friendship was not based upon deen, it was based upon some worldly motive, then on the day of Qiyamah, you will be enemies to one another. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that this ayah was revealed regarding two individuals, Umayyah bin Khalaf and Uqba bin Abi Mu'it. They were both disbelievers during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And kana khalilan, they were very close friends. Uqba bin Abi Mu'it and Umayyah bin Khalaf, or in some narrations we also find his brother's name Ubay bin Khalaf. So they were both very close friends. Now, there are similar incidents mentioned, one mentioned here under the commentary of this ayah, and something else is also mentioned in the verses regarding friendship, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Suratul Furqan. In Suratul Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how a person will regret having an evil friend in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. That on that day, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, this sinner, this person who lived a bad life, an evil life, he will be biting on his hand. So this is an expression to show that this person will now be regretting. So when a person regrets, extreme regret, one way a person regrets is that he begins to bite on his hand. So Allah Ta'ala says he will be biting on his hand out of regret. And what will he say? He will say, Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. That if only I had not befriended so and so. If only I had not made such and such a person my friend. And under the commentary of that ayah, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that either Umayyah bin Khalaf or Ubay bin Khalaf, they had advised their friend Uqba bin Abi Mu'it to do something which destroyed his akhirah and his hereafter. And what was that? That Uqba bin Abi Mu'it, it was his habit that whenever he would return from a journey, then he would invite to his house all the leaders of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So with the leaders, he would also invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on one occasion, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his house, he accepted the invitation. But when the food was presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking advantage of the situation, after all, he was sent into this world to try and bring as many people as he could into Islam so that they can be saved from Jahannam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Uqba bin Abi Mu'it that I will not consume the food until you read the kalima. Now, he wasn't Gujarati, he was an Arab. And amongst the Arabs, one thing they are known for is hospitality. You cannot go to an Arab's house and come back out the house without eating. They'll feel offended. Even in this day and age, if you were to go to an Arab's house, they don't take no for an answer. I remember in Madinatul Munawwara, when I went for Hajj, a certain alim, I just did salam with him, and he said, today after Isha Salah, you have to come to my house to eat. So as is our habit, we try to get out of these things, going to someone's house to eat. So I tried to make an excuse. So he became extremely angry at me. And he said, you're rejecting a da'wah in Madinatul Munawwara? So I have to go now. So Arabs, they don't take no for an answer. So Uqba bin Abi Mu'it thought to himself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to my house and he leaves the house without consuming a single morsel. The whole of Arabia is going to talk. So this will be a means of great disgrace for me. So he thought, I have to read the kalima. And he read the kalima. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consumed the food and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. The news reaches his friend, Ubay bin Khalaf. So the next time they meet, Ubay bin Khalaf says to Uqba bin Abi Mu'it that you've become a Muslim. Now this is peer pressure. This is what happens to our youth. Because of the friend circle, the people that they spend time with, they end up doing so many wrongs, which they would never have even thought about. But they think to myself that because my friends will say something, I have to do this. Why do they dress in such a way? That all my friends, if I dress in such a way, then my friends will praise me. And if I don't dress in such a way, then they'll make fun out of me. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. That a person is on the religion of his friend. He's not on the religion of his father, he will not be on the religion of his mother, his brother, his sister, no, nobody. A person will be on the religion of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So each one of you be very careful as to who you make your friends. Because they are going to shape your entire life. Before making any decision, you're going to think that what will my friends say if I was to do this? Now if you've got good friends, you'll do good things. And if you've got evil friends, you'll do wrong things. So Ubay bin Khalaf, he says to Uqba bin Abi Mu'id that I've heard you've become a Muslim. So he said, no, I've not become a Muslim. I just read the kalima, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eats in my house. Otherwise, deep down, I haven't accepted Islam. But Ubay bin Khalaf said, no. You have to prove to me that you haven't accepted Islam. And how are you going to prove it to me? you are going to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you are going to spit in his blessed face. Now look how friendship and evil friendship, what it leads a person to. So he did this. Uqba bin Abi Mu'it went there and he spat in the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this became the means of his destruction. Imam Dahhak rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that when he went in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he spat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened and sent down Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. And this saliva which left his mouth as it was going towards the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it paused. And thereafter it took a U-turn. And instead of landing on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it landed on his own face. And his entire face was burnt, his lips and his cheeks. And this mark remained on his face until he finally passed away on the occasion of the Battle of Badr. All of these individuals, whether it was Uqba bin Abi Mu'it, he was killed in the Battle of Badr. And also Umayyah bin Khalaf was also killed in the Battle of Badr. And Ubay bin Khalaf, his brother, he was killed in the Battle of Uhud. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that occasion when he spat in his face, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that a time will come when you will be killed at my hands. And this happened on the occasion of Badr and Uhud. So look at how he had to, in this world, also face disgrace. And thereafter, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will be enemies to one another. And they will say that it's because of him that today I am going into Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here speaking about friendship, that how friendship, if it is not based upon taqwa, if it is not based upon deen, if it is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not benefit you, rather it will harm you. And you will regret it on the day of Qiyamah. La yas'alu hamimun hamima. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about friends. There the word hamim is used. That one hamim, one friend, he will not even ask about the condition of another friend. He won't even care about another friend. Yubassarunahum yawaddu al-mujrim law yaftadi min adhabi yawmi'idhin bibanih wa sahibatihi wa akhih wa fasilatihi allati tu'wih wa man fil ardi jami'an thumma yunjih. Even there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about all the different relationships. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a person will be ready to give in ransom one of these close relationships of his just so that he can save himself from Jahannam. That take my friend, but grant me freedom from Jahannam. Or take my mother, or take my brother. Allama Ibn al-Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that there are four types of friendships. There are four types of friends. Number one is the ruhani friend. What is ruhani? Ruhani, the word ruh, is derived from the word soul. So in simple words, I will try to explain this. Ruhani friend is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's take the hadith. He says that, al-arwahu junudun mujannadadun. That in alamul arwah, the realm of the souls, when all the souls were gathered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? And we all replied that, Bala, yes, you are our Rabb. So in alamul arwah, all our souls, they were in armies. In other words, they were in large groups. So you had one large group of souls here, one large group of souls here, one large group of souls here. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that مَا تَعَارَفَ مِنْهَا اِئْتَلَفَ وَمَا تَنَافَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفَ. That there in Alamul Arwah, whichever souls you are with, they are the individuals with whom you feel compatibility in this very world. And if over there was no compatibility, there will be no compatibility in this world also. This is why you see that sometimes you've been with someone for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but you just don't get on with that person. You just don't click. And you see another person, it's the first time you've met him and you click as if you've known the person for the last 30 years. So where did this click come from? It's because you were together in Alamul Arwah. Now, As far as this ruhani friendship is concerned, if the friendship is not based upon deen and upon taqwa, if they are not two good people, if they are two evil people, then this cannot be classified as a ruhani friendship. This is not even worthy of being called a friendship. Because they're just there because they enjoy each other's company, and the moment they know that he's no benefit for me, that's when the friendship will come to an end. That's why we see in such cases that the youth, they're together, they're part of a gang, they've been spending so much time together, but when one of them is in hospital, none of the friends will go and visit him. When one of them passes away, you won't see anyone at the ghusl. Some of them won't even go to perform his janazah salah. And after he passes away, which one of them will go to the graveyard and pray for him? None of them, because they were not friends. This is friends just by name. So these are not ruhani. Ruhani friends are those friends that the souls were together, and those souls, even in this world, because of a deeni motive, they remain together. Even after this person passes away, you will continue to pray for him. You will continue to benefit him. This is a true friend. So these are the ruhani friends. Number two, you have the qalbi friends. The qalbi friends are those friends where the friendship is based upon a deeni motive. So you feel that this person is religious, so I want to befriend him. I want to spend time with him. This person, because of his knowledge, I want to spend time with him and I want to learn from him. This person, he motivates me to practice upon deen, so I want to spend time with him. So this is a qalbi friend. Number three, you have an aqli friend. Aqli is to do with the brain, intellect. So intellect demands that you have a relationship with the person. For example, you have two colleagues, work colleagues. Now, the work colleagues, even if you don't like the person, your brain will tell you that you're going to have to work together. If there's going to be enmity, it's not going to work. So even though deep down you don't have friendship with him, but you keep an apparent friendship just so that at work everything goes well. Two colleagues, two business partners, two neighbors. And number four, you have shahwani. Shahwani are those friends based upon your desires. So you've got relationship with somebody either because of your carnal desires, either because of wealth, that if I be his friend, he's very rich, so I'll be able to benefit from his money. Or he's extremely famous. Sometimes people are close to scholars for this reason, that if I stay close with him, because he's very famous, everybody will speak good about me also. So look, the friendship is based upon fame. This is shahwani. After mentioning these four, Allama Ibn al-Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi says that as far as the first two are concerned, ruhani and qalbi, these are the two friendships which will benefit a person in this world, and this friendship will also remain in the hereafter. And as far as the second two are concerned, in the hereafter, these friendships will turn into enmity. And thereafter, he further says that as far as the first two are concerned, you will find very few. And as far as the second two are concerned, you will find many. In other words, there are very few friendships which will remain friendships in the hereafter. So be very careful as to who you befriend, in whose company you sit, and who you make as those people who you give a place to in your heart. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned a narration, the likes of Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi in Ad-Durrul Manthur and Imam Abdul Razzaq in his Musannaf, they have all reported this as well as many other commentators of the Quran. He says that kana khalilani mu'minan wa khalilani kafiran. To make us understand this very easily, there are two friends, two believing friends and two disbelievers. So two good friends, two evil friends. First of all, the two good friends. One of them passes away. So when one of them passes away, he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have left behind a friend of mine in the world. And that friend of mine who I have left in the world, he used to command me to do good deeds. He used to tell me to obey you, and he used to tell me to obey your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to always remind me that a day is going to come when you will have to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O Allah, I have seen that my fate is Jannah. But I am making dua to you that, O Allah, you keep my friend steadfast upon that right path which me and him were treading. So that when he passes away, he is also with me in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to this friend. Thereafter, when this second friend passes away, when the second friend passes away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the two of them reunite. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them that now praise one another. So one of them will say that, oh Allah, this was that friend of mine who used to command me to do good deeds. And he was the one who used to tell me to refrain from sin. And he was the one who used to remind me that one day we will meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply and say that ni'ma al-khalil wa ni'ma al-akh wa ni'ma al-sahib. That what an excellent brother he was, what an excellent friend he was, and what an excellent companion he was. And thereafter on the other side, you will have the two evil friends. So one of them will pass away. So when he will pass away, he will say to Allah that, oh Allah, I used to have a friend who I have left behind. He would always tell me to do things which would be disobeying you. He would make me disobey you, he would make me disobey your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the opportunity would come to sin, he would tell me, don't worry about the day of Qiyamah. And in this way, he would encourage me to do wrong things. Oh Allah, I make dua to you that you don't guide him. You keep him on this wrong path. And he continues with these evil ways until he meets me. Because I have seen my fate is Jahannam and I want him to join me in Jahannam. When this second friend will pass away, Allah Ta'ala will also gather them both together. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will then say that now praise one another. So they will say that, oh Allah, he is the one who used to tell me to disobey you. And he is the one who used to tell me to disobey your Rasul. And he is the one who used to say to me that you are never going to meet with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that bi'sa sahib wa bi'sa al-akh. That what an evil companion he was. And what an evil brother he was. Wa bi'sa al-khalil. And what an evil friend he was. And they will in this way curse one another and they will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So good friends will benefit a person in this world also. And good friends will benefit a person in the hereafter also. And as far as evil friends are concerned, they will harm a person in this world also and they will harm a person in the akhirah and in the hereafter also. So throughout the Quran as well as the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been encouraged that we befriend those people who assist us in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that ayyu julasa'ina khair, that from all the people with whom we can sit, who are the best people? Whose company should we adopt? Who should we sit with? Who should we spend our time with? Because friends are the ones who you spend your time with. In other words, who should be our friends? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that man dhakkarakum billahi ru'yatuhu. Number one, when you see them, then you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to sit with those people that when we see them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are reminded of Allah. Either their spirituality is such that just the mere looking at them reminds us of Allah. Or at least that when we sit with them, they speak about Allah. And when they speak about Allah, by them speaking about Allah, we are reminded of Allah. You will see that some people, when you sit with them, they only talk about the dunya, they only talk about the world. Some friends, they will only talk about sports. Some will only talk about cars. Some will only talk about money. Some will only talk about houses. So you will spend 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours in their company and you will not even hear the word Allah once. So these are not the people who we should be befriending. We are wasting our time, we are wasting our precious life. We need to adopt the company of those who remind us of Allah. And وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. When you sit in their gatherings, then your knowledge with regards to the deen increases. They always speak about the deen, and your information and your knowledge with regards to the deen increases because they always speak about the deen. And number three, وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. When you see their actions and when you see their practice, then this reminds you of akhirah. This reminds you that this world isn't everything. There's a far greater place where we need to go, and that's the akhirah, and that's the hereafter. So these are the sort of people Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to befriend, and he has told us to sit in such people's company. Musa ibn Abi Aisha rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, regarding him, his student Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid used to say that kuntu idha ra'aytuhu dhakartullah. He said that whenever I would go into the gathering of my ustad Musa bin Abu Aisha, then just by looking at him, I would be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the individuals whose company we need to adopt. Hazrat Mawlana Yasin Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, the grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib, he says that when we would sit in the dars of Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayh, then we would hear two sounds. One would be the sound of the Bukhari dars, which would be flowing from his tongue, and the other sound which you hear would be the sound of Allah, Allah, which would be coming out from his heart. So these are the people that when you sit in their gatherings, you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regarding this very Musa bin Abi Aisha, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi alayhi says that ma rafa'tu ra'si qattu illa ra'aytuhu yusalli. That whenever I raised my head, then I would look and I would see that Musa bin Abu Aisha is performing salah. So this reminds a person that there's an akhirah. Otherwise, why would a person be always obeying Allah Ta'ala? Why would he always be worshipping Allah? This shows that this world is nothing in their eyes. In their eyes, the akhirah was everything. So befriending the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this point that al-akhillau yawma'idhim ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. Friends will be enemies on that day, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, illa al-muttaqeen, except for those friends who have taqwa. So the message which we are given is that whenever you befriend somebody, then it should be upon the basis of deen. It should be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن أخي وصاحبي. That if I was to befriend somebody, I would have befriended Abu Bakr. In other words, I have no friends. Today, we want to have the most friends. The person who has the most friends, who is the most popular, he is the one who is regarded as someone great. And if someone has no friends, then we say he's a loner, he has no friends. But what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? This is actually the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have no friends. So in other words, you should be proud if you are a loner. لو كنت متخذا خليلا. If I was to befriend somebody, لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. I would have befriended Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنْ أَخِي وَصَاحِبِي. But he's my brother and he's my companion. He's not my friend. Why? Because a friend is that individual for whom you are ready to do anything and everything. And there's only one being. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahu وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the friend of the believers. So we need to be Allah's friend. When we will be Allah's friend, then no matter what condition we are in, at that moment in time, we won't have to look left or right that who's going to assist me? Where are my friends? No, your friend will be with you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting under the tree, and Da'thur comes, the enemy Da'thur, he comes with his sword, and he places the sword on the throat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, مَيَّمْنَأُكَ مِنِّي. Who is going to save you from me right now? Now, which friend are you going to find in that situation? But if you have Allah as your friend, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, then straight away, that's the name that's going to come on your tongue. And one is you and I, parrot fashion, we say Allah. You'll have no effect. But if Allah is your true friend, and at that moment you say Allah, just imagine with what sincerity Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have said Allah, that the sword, his hand begins to shake and the sword falls onto the ground. During Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all they need to do is look down and they will see us. And the announcement has been made, 100 red camels for whoever finds them, dead or alive. But again, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That, O Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka ya Aba Bakrin li ithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma. O Abu Bakr, what is your opinion regarding those two with whom the third is Allah? So at every time, because Allah was the friend, when Allah is the friend, then whenever you will be in need, then this thought will come in your mind that there is nothing to worry about because Allah is with me. And when do you get this close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To become the friend of Allah and to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it begins by carrying out the fara'id and the compulsory acts. You have to begin from the basics. So whatever is fard you do, you perform your 5 times salah, you fast 30 days of the month of Ramadan. If zakat is fard once a year, you give zakat. If hajj is fard, you perform your hajj. And together with carrying out the fara'id, it's fard and compulsory to refrain from sins. So you refrain from sins. When you carry out the fara'id and the compulsory acts, then وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي مَنْ عَدَالِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَدْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the closest, the best way to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by carrying out the fara'id. So a person carries out the compulsory acts and he refrains from the sins. He becomes very close to Allah. He becomes very close to Allah. Now, because spiritually his stamina has increased, he will now begin to want to please Allah Ta'ala even more. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ مِن نَوَافِلٍ. Now he starts getting even closer and even closer to me by carrying out optional deeds. So whatever he knows about the deen, all the optional things, he begins to bring that into his life also. And he becomes so close to me that حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I begin to love him. Now you become the beloved of Allah. Just imagine Allah Ta'ala now loves you. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Now I become the ears with which he listens. In other words, he cannot listen to anything haram now, because now he's in my protection. So now he'll only listen to halal things. He'll never listen to haram. Allah Ta'ala will protect him. Allah Ta'ala will not even let him go in that environment where haram is taking place. If two people are backbiting, Allah Ta'ala will make him move away from them. Now he will only listen to halal. Now he will not listen to music. Now he will not listen to any slandering. وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. Now his eyes will only see that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to see. Allah Ta'ala becomes the eyes with which he sees. رِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. Allah Ta'ala becomes the feet with which he walks. يَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. Allah Ta'ala becomes the hands with which he touches. So everything he does now is going to be in accordance to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So he began by doing only the fara'id and refraining from sins. This made him extremely close to Allah. Then he brings nawafil into his life, he becomes the beloved of Allah. When he becomes the beloved of Allah, his whole life is now in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. When his whole life is in accordance to the pleasure of Allah, now Allah Ta'ala says his status becomes such that إِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ. If he was to raise his hands and he was to say, Oh Allah, I need this, give it to me. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give it to him. وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُؤِذَنَّهُ. And if he was to say, Oh Allah, I need your protection, I need safety, Allah Ta'ala will grant him this safety and protection. Now he's become the beloved of Allah. And when he becomes the beloved of Allah, he becomes the beloved of Allah also, and he becomes beloved of the creation of Allah also. Because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the announcement. He calls Jibreel and he says to Jibreel that, "Oh Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulanan fa ahbibhu. Oh Jibreel, I love this servant of mine. I am telling you that you also love him." So Jibreel alayhi salam instantly begins to love this person also. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel alayhi salam that now descend and tell all the creations in the heavens, "Inna Allah yuhibbu fulanan fa ahibbuhu." Allah ta'ala loves such and such a person, so you should also love such and such a person. So now all the creations in the heavens begin to love him also. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Jibreel that, "Oh Jibreel, now go onto the earth and make the announcement on the earth, inna Allah yuhibbu fulanan fa ahibbuhu, that Allah ta'ala loves such and such a person, so you should also love such and such a person." Now we cannot hear this announcement, but the love of such a person is instilled within our hearts. And we, despite not knowing why, we begin to experience love for such a person. فَيُوْدَعُ لَهُ الْقُبُولِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Such a person is granted acceptance on earth. So this is what a person gains when he gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one way we can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we, when we meet with another person, we meet that person only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there was a person from the people of the past. He made an intention to travel to another town. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him. So Allah ta'ala sent down an angel in the form of a human being. So this angel came in the form of a human being and this angel asked him that, "Where are you going?" This person replied that, "I'm going to this town to meet this brother of mine." So the angel asked that, "Why are you going there? Why are you going to meet him?" So he said, "Simply because I love him for the pleasure of Allah. That's the only reason." So the angel said, "There's no other reason. It's not that he conferred a favor upon you and you're going to reciprocate the favor, or that he owes you money and you're going to get the money." He said, "No, no other reason. The only reason I'm going to meet him is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I love him for the pleasure of Allah." So the angel said to him that, "I have been sent by Allah. I am not a human, I am an angel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to give you glad tidings that just as you love this brother of yours only for the pleasure of Allah, then in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves you." Abu Idris Khawlani rahmatullahi alayh, he mentions that once I went to Damascus and I entered the masjid in Damascus. When I entered the masjid in Damascus, I saw that there was a young man who was sat at the front of the masjid and there was a large gathering sat around him. Whenever they had any question with regards to the matters of deen, they would come to him, they would ask him and he would reply. So he says, "I realize that he is an authority and an imam here." So after the gathering dispersed, I asked the people of Damascus that, "Who is that young man? He seems to be extremely handsome, extremely knowledgeable, extremely pious. And just by looking at him, I felt very attracted towards him. So who is this person?" So they replied that he is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, regarding whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, "A'lamuhum bil halali wal harami Mu'adh bin Jabal," that from all my sahaba, the one who has the most knowledge regarding halal and haram is Mu'adh bin Jabal. So he became even more happy that he's a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "The next day I went to the masjid very early. And when I entered the masjid, I was the only one in the masjid, but Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu was also in the masjid and he was performing salah." He says, "I became very happy that today I will have the opportunity to meet him personally, one to one." After Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu finished his salah and he turned round, Abu Idris Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi says that, "I went forward and I greeted him and I said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu replied that, "Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Abu Idris Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi says that, "I said that, Wallahi inni la uhibbuka fillah, That by the qasam of Allah, I love you only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you experience love for another Muslim brother of yours, then you should express this and inform him that I love you only for the pleasure of Allah. And in return, he should reply with these words that أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ. That may that being also love you for whom you love me. In other words, you love me for Allah, so may Allah also love you. These are the beautiful teachings of Islam. We don't practice upon this. We should say, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk, by the qasam of Allah, I love you. And the reply should be, أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ. May he love you for whom you love me. So he said, Abu Idris Khawlani said to Mu'ad bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu that I love you only for the pleasure of Allah. Mu'ad bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Allah, by Allah, by the qasam of Allah, you love me only for Allah's sake? He replied, yes, wallahi, by the qasam of Allah, I love you only for Allah's sake. There's no other motive. He asked him again that, Allah, by the qasam of Allah? He said, wallahi, yes, by the qasam of Allah. So Mu'ad bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that abshir, that be prepared and get ready to take glad tidings. I am going to give you some very good news. And what's that good news? Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. I have heard with these very ears Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, qala Allah ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wajabat mahabbati, my love, Allah Ta'ala is saying that my love becomes incumbent and necessary for that individual or for those two people, al-mutahabbina fiyya, who love one another only for my sake, wal-mutajalisina fiyya, when they sit with one another, they sit with one another only for my sake, wal-mutazawirina fiyya, when they visit one another, they visit one another only for my sake, وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيَّ, and when they spend on one another, they spend on one another only for my sake. So just look at the reward and the benefit only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world, He has made the system such that we will have to accompany other people, we will have to sit with others, we will have to befriend people. It's up to us, do we have good friends or do we have evil friends? If we have good friends, it'll benefit us in this world also, in the akhirah also. And if we have evil friends, then it's going to harm us in this world also, and it's going to harm us in the hereafter also. So as far as the evil friends are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhillau yawma'idhim ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen, that friends will be enemies on the day of Qiyamah. Yes, illa al-muttaqeen, except for the muttaqeen. The righteous, the pious, you adopted the company and you befriended good people, they won't be enemies on the day of Qiyamah. Rather, on the day of Qiyamah, regarding the muttaqeen, Allah ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my bondsmen, O my servants, لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. You shall have no fear today, neither will you grieve. Fear and grief, fear is normally connected to the future and grief is connected to the past. This is why when a person passes away also, when the angels will descend, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, what will they say? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. So regarding the future is because when you are dying, now there's going to be this fear that what's going to happen in the akhirah. So the angels will say, لا تخافوا, there's nothing to fear. That as soon as they will say, لا تخافوا, the muttaqi servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will become fearless now. And now there's nothing to worry about. And ولا تحزنوا, there's no need to grieve. This is regarding the past. Because when you're leaving the world, there's many things you're leaving behind. You're leaving your wife behind, you're leaving your children behind, you're leaving your students behind. So all these worries that who's going to look after all this? So the angels will say, لا تحزنوا. There's no need to grieve. All that Allah Ta'ala is going to take care of. So just imagine at the time of death, if the angels say to you, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا, imagine with what peace you will leave this world. So even on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say these very words. That, يا عبادي, O my servants, لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. There is no need for you to fear today and there is no need for you to grieve today. And who are these people? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, those who believed in our ayat. وَكَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ And they were the obedient ones. اُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَأَنْتُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ تُحْبَرُونَ You and your spouses should enter into Jannah happily. Imam Muhasibi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions under the commentary of this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this announcement will be made on the day of Qiyamah, that يَا إِبَادِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ That, O my servants, you shall have no fear today, neither will you grieve. So when this announcement will be made, then all of the servants, meaning all of the human beings, they will all stand up and they will all raise their heads. Everybody will lift their heads because Allah Ta'ala will say, Ya Ibadi, O my servants. And everyone will say that we are your servants, O Allah. But thereafter the announcer will say the next verse, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ That those who believe in our ayat and were the obedient ones. Here, Iman and Islam is mentioned. So all those who are disbelievers, they will all lower their heads. And all the Muslims, their heads will still be raised. But then the announcer will say the verse from Surah Yunus that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ That not only did you have Iman, not only were you Muslims, but you were also muttaqi. You also obeyed Allah Ta'ala. You refrained from disobeying Allah Ta'ala. So all those who committed kaba'ir and major sins, they will have to lower their heads. And those who obeyed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they will continue to keep their heads raised. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will then say that because you obeyed me, then now you will be entering into Jannah. For you now there will be no grief. For you now there will be no disgrace. So from these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about here the friendships of this world. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to befriend those individuals who remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remind us of the akhirah and the hereafter, who are good influences for us, who influence us in doing good things, and who remind us of our purpose and objective in life, because these are the people who will be told to enter paradise. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about Jannah and paradise. So inshallah, in next week's lesson, we will discuss those ayat of the Quran, or those ayat of this surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jannah and paradise. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts these durus and these lessons. He makes it a means of our salvation in this world as well as in the hereafter. And just as we gather here on a weekly basis, some brothers, mashallah, are very punctual and they attend every week. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He also makes us from those who are gathered in Jannah and in paradise together. Just as we learn from the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu, that the good friends, when one will pass away, and he will say to Allah that, Oh Allah, I have left a friend behind. So, Oh Allah, he used to remind me of the day that I am going to meet you. He used to instruct me and encourage me to do good deeds. So, Oh Allah, you keep him on the straight path. So we also want to be from amongst these individuals. And when we leave the world, or when our friends leave the world, then they speak in this positive way with regards to us. And we don't want to befriend those people. And when we leave the world or they leave the world, then we or they speak negatively about us. So we make dua to Allah that He gives us good and pious friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us all from the people of Jannah and Paradise and saves us from Jahannam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Mm-hmm.